Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today looking like he survived without explosive or concussive injury the holiday.
That's correct, Senator.
Nothing blowing up in your immediate vicinity?
Not that I know of.
Other than the school system?
Yes, other than the school system. Very good.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader before the holiday on June 27th, 2013, titled How Chicago's Five-Year School Plan Was Dead on Arrival.
Ah, yes. It's been a few weeks since I wrote that, Dave, but I do remember that. It was a delightful opportunity for me to read the official plan. There isn't a plan. Did you know that? There's a blueprint for the next 5 years.
And this plan is titled The Next Generation, Chicago's Children, 21st Century Preparation for Success in College, Career, and Life. This is a 28-page document, I guess on a rather high level. Talks about the Chicago Public Schools plan for its schools.
A high level?
As opposed to giving nitty-gritty. It doesn't give a lot of detail,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
In your article, you ridicule the plan. Does it contain anything you consider substantive?
No. I don't know. Did you read it?
I read the beginning and
did
then
you You couldn't even read the whole thing.
There's something else I read that we'll get to in a moment.
Okay. No, I can't. If any of our listeners out there find anything of substance in this, feel free to send it in and I will sit corrected. But it was platitudes and propaganda and just misleading PR, which of course was completely negated by the cuts that followed within a week or so. I can't remember the chronology anymore. I mean,
the unofficial cuts.
Exactly. The unofficial cuts. There were the official cuts when they closed 50 schools. Then, having shoved the school closings down the collective throats of parents throughout the city, Mayor Rahm's school appointees announced that there would be a 5-year plan where we would work together in peace and harmony for the benefit of everybody. And then within a week of announcing the 5-year plan where we would work together for the benefit of everybody, they announced, well, they didn't announce them. Their principals were forced to announce cuts at schools throughout the city. So, as I say, the 5-year plan was dead on arrival.
What do you think motivated the administration to issue the plan?
Propaganda.
Just to keep the PR machine
going.
Running.
Look, they had assaulted the city of Chicago by closing 50 schools. There was outrage. There was a bad taste in the mouths of many people, parents, students, teachers at the schools that were affected. As we've discussed before, I think that disapproval is not as strong if your child is not in a school that's closed. So,
but ire.
Yeah, the ire, yeah. So in order to combat that, they had a public relations initiative where Barbara Bird Bennett, who's the CEO appointed by Mayor Rahm, unveiled this 5-year plan, had a press conference or a speech, or I can't remember what it was anymore. It got great write-ups in the Tribune and the Sun-Times, which I read. And then, of course, the cuts. It was left to principals to announce the cuts to come. So it was a PR initiative by a mayor who's very sophisticated when it comes to public relations.
In your article, you wrote, quote, "The recent cuts mean a reduction in the money many schools were given," unquote. How much extra money did CPS give to schools to help them implement the longer school day? Because that's one of the key sort of give and then take back that the administration seems to have done.
I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know if anybody does. If you recall, there's a certain, it's like a leveled answer, actually. If you remember, if you go back in time to the great campaign for the longer school day, which was 2 years ago, Mayor Rahm was essentially bribing schools to accept the longer day. If you recall, he tried to implement the longer day early before the state law allowed him to do it in order to get teachers to break from the teachers union, which was standing by the existing contract, which regulated the hours that teachers have to teach. So in order to get teachers to break from the teachers union, so in fact, the longer day was really just an attempt to undercut the teachers union. He offered schools, I think it was $100,000 each school, if they would implement the longer day earlier. And I believe there were 13 schools out of all the schools in Chicago that took that offer. So do you count that money as money for the longer school day? Obviously, that was the money. And the aftermath, I don't know if there is a lot of money given to schools. It varies schools to school. But some schools, for instance, got money to hire aides who could police the playground, because one thing we got out of the longer day, which was good, so I compliment the mayor, was recess, which we didn't have before. But of course, you had to have somebody out on the playground to watch the kids. And that, of course, you know, you have to have a playground. Some schools don't have a playground, or you have to have a gym when it's raining or snowing. Some schools don't have a gym. So from the get-go, there were problems with implementing the longer school day in a bankrupt system, system-wide, as opposed to selecting certain schools to roll it out, which is what you and I urged, at least I urged it. You seem to agree with me, and many teachers urged. So I don't know what the collective cost was for the longer school day and how much they doled out. But I do know this, that several schools that I've talked to, Burley in particular on the north side, Lane Tech, Whitney Young, Northside Prep, but just these are schools that are popping off my mind that I've talked to parents or teachers, they're having to cut back programs that were used to sort of supplement the regular curriculum because they're losing their discretionary money. That's the first money that goes. So there's more time being spent in schools, and now there's less things to do with the time. So it sort of defeats the whole purpose, I think, of spending more time in school.
State law mandates that CPS create a one-year and five-year capital plan each year. This plan talks about what the system will do with respect to renovation, improvement, construction, repairs, things of that nature. And the five-year plan is revised each year to reflect the realities of what happens each year.
So it's really not a plan at all. It's a work in progress.
It makes sense. If you're forced to create a five-year plan every year, you got to revise it at least to cut out 1 year and put in the next
year. Why do we call them five-year plans? This is my thing. I mean, Stalin always talked about a five-year plan. Can we just like a two-year plan, maybe just break from the Soviet model just for once?
By the way, they have a 10-year plan as well, but I didn't mention that.
10-year or 10-year?
10-year.
Y-E-A-R. Yeah. Okay, I forgot the
10-year. Have you seen?
No, I've not. I used to read those things. Yeah. I haven't, but since, as you pointed out, they're kind of meaningless, I've stopped reading them, but probably should read them because it gives you a sense, some sense anyway, what their priorities are.
Happen to have.
Now, my man.
This year's five-year plan. Huh?
And it's, just so our listeners know, it's printed out on recyclable paper.
Recycled,
yes.
Used once before.
Yes.
What connections do these plans have, do you think, to the document that we were talking about, the 28-page other plan?
You mean the 28-page nothing plan that they put yes. out? Having not read the...
But you kind of know what's in them, right? Because you've seen them before.
I would say that there's probably more meaning to that five-year plan that you have in front of you. I think that in reality, how do I put this? They sort of keep secret the plans. They work from year to year. There's so many factors that play into how much money they have and how they're going to spend it. So for instance, what was not on any five-year plan was the longer day until 2011, you know. So Mayor Daley had his five-year plans, or one-year plans, or 10-year plans. We had 20,010. Remember, Renaissance 2010 was a 10-year plan of building schools, expanding education, which was largely, as we know, closing real public schools and opening charters. So in terms of Mayor Rahm's five-year plan, I would say that there's probably more truth to that than there is to the five-year proclamation of peace. But I'd say that they keep their real intentions pretty well hidden at the Board of Education.
The advantage of having it required by law is it has to have certain things, like what exactly they're going to spend on what from year to year. And
give me an example of what they claim they're going to spend money on.
Well, here's some interesting. There's a table in here that shows the capital spending from year to year in each fiscal year. And there's a table here that shows in the years between 2009 and 2012, it hovered between $460 million and $615 million. And then it drops in fiscal year 13 to $11 million. And then they have what they called a supplemental capital budget, which they pulled forward from subsequent years to shore up capital spending, taking it from the future somehow. So they time traveled it. And then in the subsequent fiscal years, up until 2018, they're talking of spending in the neighborhood of between $150 and $160 million per year.
So it's plummeting. They're not going to be spending money, according to their plan.
It's gone down significantly.
It's going down, yeah. So they're not going to be spending money. So that plan tells you that the city of Chicago under Mayor Emanuel will not be spending more money on new schools, rehabbing schools, equipment for schools. They'll, in fact, be spending less money. That's what he's doing. He's cutting public education. So those numbers substantiate what, in fact, he did. I mean, when he closed the 50 schools, he originally said it was to decrease the amount of money we commit to the schools because, well, he claimed that we were wasting it because they were underutilized. So we're going to put more kids into fewer schools. Therefore, we'll have less heating costs, less cost of maintaining the building. We'll be able to fire staff. So as the years go on, we'll save more money just on those operational and personnel costs. Also, as the years go on, the fewer schools, there's less need to invest in them to fix them up. So I presume that budget is showing. I guess it's his way of saying he's divesting in public education, whereas the official five-year report that existed for about a week before it was dead, officially killed, sort of in a general sense, led people to believe that he was investing. So they want you to think that we're promoting education when in fact we're demoting education, if such a word exists.
So it's useful to hold these two plans side by side because this one is more nuts and bolts.
Absolutely.
And shows you what they actually say they're going
yes,
to spend.
Yes, absolutely. And then, of course, and then you take it year by year with what an actual budget. What you're getting at here is very useful. It's sort of like when you take a look at their press release that says we've cut central office spending to the bone, and then you actually look at a official budget and you see that central office officials got raises. And so you see the inherent contradiction between what they say they're doing and what they actually are doing. But Dave, I think it's clear, there's no doubt about it, he's cutting back as best he can spending on public schools as we know them. The total amount of money that is allocated for quote-unquote education is not going down in any significant way. In fact, he's talking about increasing the property tax for public education. So you have to ask, well, if you're cutting back on actual expenditures to schools while increasing the amount of money that go to the schools, where's the money going to? Mayor Rahm would probably tell you his latest stance is that, well, we have to pay pension costs. So that's part of the reason why we need the more money. I would say to start looking at charter school expenditures, you have to look at central office expenses, contracts to various vendors. You're not going to see a report from the central office anytime soon about contracts to vendors, who's getting what.
Your point about pensions is an important one because the state has been allowing CPS not to pay into its teachers' pensions. They've been on a pension holiday.
That's correct.
For a while, and that's going to expire
at some point,
and then there's going to be
a huge
bill.
Well, that's why they're saying, that's one of the things Mayor Rahm says. I kind of gave him credit and chided him for this in a piece I wrote where he's saying that because of the bad fiscal oversight of previous mayors, there's only really one mayor he's talking about.
He who shall not be named.
Yes. Mayor Rahm is going to have to take on this pension issue head on. Of course, you know, the entire apparatus of corporate, civic, and political Chicago, including Mayor Rahm, wholeheartedly endorsed Mayor Daley and his educational policies throughout the 90s and into the O's. So it's kind of odd to hear him now chiding the mayor, even though he doesn't dare name him for whatever reason. Since 1995, this gets really complicated, but bottom line is when Mayor Daley took over the public schools in 1995, he got the state to change the law, which forced the Board of Education to submit directly property taxes into the teacher's pension fund account so that it would always stay up to balance. And instead, he got to use that money, Mayor Daley did, on operationals and capital projects. And he was heralded as a education mayor and a fiduciary wizard by the same forces who are now saying we should cut back because we're in dire straits. I think that the whole pension machinations that mayors have played with it is fraudulent. And one of the most cynical ploys I've seen where they've got teachers, in this case we're talking about the teachers' pension, to forego pay raises in exchange for greater payment by the board into the pension fund. And then they used the money that was supposed to be going to the pension fund to pay for other things. And so, yes, Mayor Rahm is absolutely correct when he says that we have not been completely honest with the way we finance our schools and finance our pensions. But of course, that dishonesty continues today with the TIF program. So how is he going to get out of this pension situation? I don't know. You know, it's ironic. He was looking for another pension holiday.
Shake my damn head.
I think there's going to be a lot of negotiations. I think ultimately the teachers are going to have to take a cut. It's going to be forced down their throats. That's my prediction. I could be wrong.
There is a precedent.
Yeah, there is a precedent. But I hope that the teachers would push for the board to return to the days where they directly deposit property tax dollars into the pension fund so that we don't continue this practice and so that we have like real budgeting. So that, you know, we know what we actually have to spend on the schools as opposed to taking pension funds and spending them on the schools. If we're going to continue pensions at all, that's a whole other issue. I mean, it's clear that there's some very powerful and influential civic people in Chicago, civic leaders, business leaders who don't believe in the pension system and think we should go to a more traditional retirement system, individual accounts.
It's good enough for the private sector.
Yeah, it's doing wonders for the private sector, for all those tens of thousands of old people who are just have secure lifestyle as they get older. No worries at all as they head into the golden years. It's worked so well.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong? Put their lives in the hands of financiers, like the people who get the millions of dollars in TIF dollars to build basketball arenas and hotels, et cetera. But I don't believe Illinois is going to retreat from pension system for its teachers. So I think it's going to be a combination of benefits cuts and raising the age on when you can actually get into your pension, retire, that kind of thing. And that'll be offset by going back to the system of directly depositing. At least I hope they go to that system. I hope we get something that resembles legitimate reform out of this crisis.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yes.
Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
Listeners, what have we missed? What should we be talking about? We welcome your comments and suggestions via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.